Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
After nearly 2 weeks of uninterrupted violence, the people of Israel and the Gaza Strip go to bed tonight amid the fragile silence of a ceasefire. Officials reported a small skirmish between Palestinians and Israeli police today, but no more rockets. The fighting between Israel and Hamas claimed more than 250 lives, many of them civilians. In its wake, a humanitarian crisis in Gaza and possible political reckoning for Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. Joining us now from Tel Aviv is Niri Zilber, journalist and analyst with the Washington Institute for Near East Policy. Welcome back, Niri.
Good to be back.
So the truce, brokered with Egypt's help, started early in the morning in Israel. It is nighttime now there. How has the day gone?
The day has been quiet. The ceasefire has held, and it was expected to hold, I believe, after 11 days of fighting. I think on the Palestinian side, Hamas, it entered this round of hostilities for political reasons and scored some political victories along the way at devastating cost, I think, to the people of Gaza. But it scored some victories, and I think it was indicating all throughout this past week that it was ready to end things. It hadn't fired on Tel Aviv since Saturday, so almost a week. And on the Israeli side, the sense is that they could have kept going, that Netanyahu and his government perhaps wanted a bit more time, but President Biden and his administration actually reined them in, and they brought a halt to at least this round yesterday.
What are you hearing, Niri, about the situation for people in Gaza? There were some celebrations at word of this ceasefire, but there is also massive devastation.
That's right. It's a paradox. The toll on the Gazan side, obviously, much higher than on the Israeli side, although life in Israel for most of the country almost came to a standstill as well. But really, we can just look at the numbers. A lot of more devastation on the Gazan side. But there was a lot more celebration on the Palestinian side overnight and into today. We saw Gazans take to the streets, honking horns, shooting off fireworks, not only in Gaza, but in Jerusalem as well, the West Bank, even some Arab-Israeli towns inside Israel. And so they're at least outwardly projecting this as a great victory. They stood up to Israel and the mighty Israeli military. And on the other side in Israel, been a lot more subdued. There's a lot of opposition criticism of the government for not going far enough. A lot of the citizens, especially in southern Israel, that have been bombarded for years now by Hamas rockets, also angry that a harder hit wasn't landed on Hamas. But really, life has returned back to normal in Israel as well, and that's probably all for the good.
Briefly, what do we know about the details of this truce?
Quite vague. Someone once put it, it's a non-paper that's not worth the paper it's not written on. The best anyone could hope for really after this round was a halt to the fighting. There was no further understandings, no further conditions that were placed on either side. And so a halt to the fighting is one thing, but really the underlying dynamics between Israel and Hamas that rules the Gaza Strip haven't changed and in many respects may have gotten worse. I think the politics on both sides have hardened.
Talk about that politically, the politics of this, specifically for Prime Minister Netanyahu within Israel.
Well, we were talking about paradoxes, so maybe the sole victor of this round, at least politically as well, might be Bibi Netanyahu. He went into the current hostilities in very real danger of losing power and being replaced by an alternative coalition, a change government, as it's called here. But in the middle of the fighting, one of the key partners in this potential alternative government actually rescinded the option, took it off the table, caved to right-wing pressure from his own base. And so now the opposition to Netanyahu aren't really looking at a realistic option for an alternative government. Neither is Netanyahu himself. But as we've seen now over 2+ years of political stalemate in Israel, elections come, elections go. There's no conclusion, but Netanyahu remains prime minister as on top of a transition government. And so he may have gotten out of this round, at least politically, but it remains to be seen whether the public will grant him another chance if it goes to yet another election.
Last question, with about a minute left here, Neri. Put this all into context for us. How does what we've seen over the last 11 days fit into the history of this conflict?
Look, sadly, it's yet another round of bloodshed, needless bloodshed, in a long-running conflict. I think if there is one silver lining coming out of the hostilities of the past week and a half, it's that the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, and primarily the Palestinian issue in question, needs to be front and center, not only for Israel, but the Biden administration and the international community. And in recent years, it's been kind of shunted aside. Israel, at least many Israelis perceive it as, or at least perceived it before these hostilities, as a non-issue. And it really needs to be addressed appropriately, responsibly, fairly. And so if there is one silver lining, it's that you can't just ignore either the humanitarian and political crisis in Gaza, Hamas-ruled Gaza, we should add, a terrorist organization, as well as moderates in the West Bank, the Palestinian Authority, which have been seeking negotiations with Israel. They're much more moderate, and yet haven't really found a willing partner, at least in this Israeli government.
Many hopes today that this ceasefire holds. Journalist Neri Zilber, thank you very much.
My pleasure.